Welcome to Holistic Trauma Healing, a podcast that empowers you to heal trauma in the same way it has affected you as a whole person. I am Lindsay Lockett, your host. I have discovered a profound path to healing trauma that allows us to move out of the role of victim and into the role of empowered and conscious creator of our best possible reality. I offer hope, healing insights, and practical tips as you get to the root of how trauma has affected every part of your existence and how to weave a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. Today, it's just me, just little old me. This is a solo episode, no guests today. I am just going to do some stream of consciousness podcasting along with referring to a few notes that I've made. I don't really have any life things to report at the moment. We're just living life at the moment, enjoying some really unseasonably warm weather here for northeastern Minnesota. I'm currently looking out my office window and snow is melting off my roof and dripping in front of my window, which is disturbing because it's about a month too early for snow to start melting here. But other than climate change, I have been hard at work creating some new things. So I'd like to share those with you, and one of them goes perfectly with today's podcast episode. So here in a moment, I'm going to talk about 15 things that I do not recommend that you do if your nervous system is really, really dysregulated. And before I go any further than that, I just want to say that like everyone's nervous system gets really, really dysregulated. And it does not matter if you are a nervous system coach. Your nervous system, my nervous system, still gets very, very dysregulated sometimes. Not to the extent that I was very dysregulated, say, 4 years ago when I was suicidal, but I still get dysregulated. I still experience anxiety. I still experience big anger sometimes that needs a place to go. I still experience myself going into a state of shutdown or collapse, and I still have a story in my head for all of it. So this past week, I released a brand new offering here in my business. It is a toolbox, per se. It's not a course. It's not a workshop. It's a toolbox. It's a collection of tools to use when your nervous system is really, really dysregulated. You could call that an oh shit nervous system moment. Sometimes our dysregulation really catches us off guard, and we notice that we have proportionally bigger responses to things that perhaps are not that big. That's just part of being human. It's nothing to pathologize, but we still need a way to come back into our body and to come back to safety whenever that happens. And sometimes, and I know this from working with my clients and also from what I used to do myself, when you're really, really dysregulated, you can find yourself like panic searching on YouTube for like a guided meditation to bring you out of a panic attack. And then 3 minutes into the guided meditation, you discover that you're still panicking and it didn't help you at all. Or you get really, really angry and you're like a pressure cooker and about to explode on your kids or your partner. And you need a way to meet yourself in that moment, in that anger, and discharge it before you hurt someone else's feelings. That is what I created this new toolbox for. It's called Nervous System CPR. It is 9 videos, short videos, that you can download to your phone or your tablet so that you can literally take me with you wherever you go. When we were writing the email to tell the folks on my email list about nervous system CPR, my husband was like, I'm going to change this line right here to say, have Lindsay Lockett in your pocket. I was like, okay, that's kind of cheesy, but sure. But that's really what it is. I've created these videos so that you can literally have a toolbox of fast, effective nervous system tools at the ready whenever you need them. I shared one of these tools called the physiological sigh on a reel on my Instagram feed. And that same day, a woman commented that that reel had helped her get through a panic attack at the grocery store. So I'm telling you, these tools are very effective and they work quickly because sometimes you don't have 20 minutes to lay down and do a guided meditation on YouTube. You certainly don't have time to like Google search with shaky hands while you're like trying to regulate yourself, right? You need to be able to come back into your body and back to safety and regulation quickly. So I've created nervous system CPR for that. You can download it from my website at any time. There's no wait list. There's no waiting for a workshop to happen. It's literally just something that you can purchase and download right now. It is the most affordable option offering that I have right now at $55. So I'm going to put a link to that below, or you can type in your browser, lindsaylockett.com/CPR. And so with that said, the 15 things that I do not recommend you do whenever your nervous system is really, really dysregulated are ways that you can avoid becoming really dysregulated, because these are all things that will really dysregulate your nervous system. Some of them are no-brainers and some of them are like, oh, shit. You know, those things that you know you need to change about your life, about your habits, and you've got that niggling feeling that it needs to happen, but you're dragging your feet on it. That's probably a nervous system state as well. So that's what we're going to dive into on this episode, is these 15 things that I really don't recommend that you do when your nervous system is super hella dysregulated. And if your nervous system does get super hella dysregulated, well, I have a toolbox for that called Nervous System CPR, which you can check out in the show notes below, or go to lindsaylockett.com/CPR. So on that note, I made a post, or two posts actually, on Instagram a couple weeks ago, and they did so well on Instagram. Oh my gosh, they like blew up. I got like 2,000 new followers in 2 days. It was awesome, and I didn't even think that the post was going to do that well, to be honest, but I'm excited that it did. And so I thought, I'm going to turn those Instagram posts into a podcast episode, because that gives people another way to consume the information, gives you another way to share it with people if you want, gives you something that you can send, you know, to your spouse or your partner, or someone you're in a relationship with, to kind of be like, hey, let's talk about this, because we might be doing some of these things and our nervous systems are dysregulated. Let's not do these things anymore. And let's hold each other accountable to not do these things. I absolutely love introducing nervous system language and awareness language into the everyday language of our interactions and communications with people, specifically the people that we are close with, like our kids, our best friends, our close coworkers, our spouses, our partners. We really need to have nervous system language. I'm telling you, it's not sterile. It's not therapeutic. It's like therapeutic meaning it's not like you don't feel like you're sitting in a therapy session is what I mean. But it has changed some of my relationships in the best ways possible. And it makes communicating not easier, but it makes our communication more effective, because when we are able to use the neutral language of the nervous system and the neutral language of awareness. What I mean by neutral language of the nervous system and of awareness is whenever we're able to say something like, you know, I'm feeling really dysregulated in my body right now, and I'm noticing that I have the urge to yell at you, and I really don't want to do that because I don't want to hurt you. But the voice in my head is telling me that you don't want to be with me anymore, or you don't want to be my friend anymore. Is that true? And can we talk about it? That is so much more neutral, and that is going to be so much more productive and effective in a conversation than just getting triggered, being angry in your fight response, yelling at the other person, hurting them, hurting the relationship, and then needing to navigate the repair process. Like, so I'm going to figure out a way. I don't know if I'm going to do a course or a group program, but I'm going to figure out a way to teach you how to bring nervous system language and awareness language into your communication with the people you love. That is in the works. I'm going to figure out how to do that. But for today, I want to share with you the things from the Instagram post of things I do not recommend that you do when your nervous system is really, really dysregulated. And if you want to know a list of things that do signal safety to your nervous system, things that you should do, I hate using the word should, but if you want to support the regulation of your nervous system, I have a podcast episode for that. You can go back and listen to episode 89, which is called Slowness Signals Safety and 11 More Ways to Signal Safety to Your Nervous System. Listen to this episode and then go back and listen to that one, and you will know a lot more than most therapists know about what to do when your nervous system is dysregulated and what not to do when your nervous system is dysregulated. So with that said, let's just dive in straight into this episode. I'm going to be sharing 15 things. I promise it's not going to be a long one, but 15 things I do not recommend when your nervous system is really dysregulated. So let's dive in. So the first thing I do not recommend when your nervous system is really dysregulated is fasting. Intermittent fasting, a Daniel fast, any kind of fasting, I do not recommend when your nervous system is dysregulated. And here's why. Satiation is a major safety signal. Having a full belly is a major safety signal. When we are really dysregulated and we deprive our body of food in any way, we will put our body in a fight-flight response. Think about hanger, right? When you feel hangry, you're hungry and angry at the same time. Let's think about this in terms of the nervous system, because I know when I say the word hanger, some people may get triggered by that word, particularly if you've ever dealt with disordered eating in the past. So let's make it more neutral. Let's talk about it through the lens of the nervous system. Hanger is hunger and anger at the same time. Anger is the primary emotion of the fight response, which is sympathetic activation in the nervous system. So anger on its own is a neutral energy. It is an energy of movement and mobilization, which is what our fight response is. We are either moving toward a threat to defend ourselves, or we're moving away from the threat to get the fuck out of there and run away. So it is a movement energy. So when your body is physiologically hungry, which means your signals have gone all throughout your body, the blood sugar is low, that's triggering your body to send out the hunger cues. Your cortisol rises because you're stressed out, because you're hungry. And then you find yourself like flustered, frustrated, pissed, and you're gonna rip somebody's fucking throat out if you don't get some food. That's hanger, right? If you've ever felt it, you know what I'm talking about. It's pretty unmistakable. That rush of anger is your nervous system activation in motion, mobilizing you to try to get you to go find some food. So you really are angry because you're hungry. So just hunger on its own is dysregulating. But if you are already dysregulated and you are perpetuating that by fasting on top of it, then your nervous system is going to become even more dysregulated, because now it's dysregulated for the original reason that it was dysregulated, whatever that is. But then on top of that, it's just more dysregulated because you're fucking hungry. So fasting is not a good idea whenever your nervous system is really dysregulated. When you fast, your body has no choice but to increase stress hormones like cortisol, which is a fat storage hormone, and rev up your nervous system to alert you that, hey, I don't feel safe. I'm perceiving that I'm starving. So I need to get you really angry so that you will go in search of food and feed me. And then what happens? Think about when you've been hangry and you actually find the food, what do? You eat it really, really fast, right? You gobble it up. And you may even eat too much. You may feel too full when you're done. And all of that is because your nervous system was activated. You were in a sympathetic fight response. The anger from your low blood sugar and your nervous system activation is what propelled you and moved you to go seek out food. And then you needed that food to signal safety to your body, and then you calm down. right? So fasting, number one thing that I do not recommend, and these are in no particular order. I'm not saying it's the number one thing, like it is the most important thing. I'm just saying this is the first thing I don't recommend. Second to this, adjacent to this, I also would not recommend any sort of restrictive eating, even if it's like restrictive eating for healing reasons, right? Like even if you're restricting foods like, you know, like grains or dairy or sugar or something like that, inflammatory foods, nightshades, whatever, because you're trying to heal, even that restriction can be perceived by as a threat by an already dysregulated nervous system. And I totally understand that food is huge in our healing process. And I understand the importance of removing inflammatory foods that are contributing to dis-ease in the body. I know that eliminating these foods aids the healing process, right? Like it's important. But I would just recommend that like maybe you don't do a crazy restrictive healing diet. Or maybe you just don't embark on a healing diet at all until you are feeling more regulated. Just wait, and you can still support your body and your mind with food, but it will be in a more grounded way. Cause I've talked about the hamster wheel of wellness and the restrictive dieting. And I did that for 10 years. And the whole time I was really just trying to out diet the symptoms of a dysregulated nervous system. Once my nervous system was much more healed, much more flexible, much more resilient, I didn't have to restrict food as much, and I don't have to restrict food at all anymore. I eat whatever I want. Now, some people hear I eat whatever I want, and they take that to mean that I eat nothing but junk and shit all the time. That's not true either. It is very important to me to nourish my body in a way that supports my overall health, but also supports the health of my nervous system. And just remember, you can't out diet your nervous system. Like there is not a diet on this planet that is going to heal anxiety or heal depression. That is a nervous system issue. It's not a food issue. I'm not saying that eliminating certain foods couldn't make those things better, especially if you're really reactive to them. This is a very nuanced conversation. So I want to rein it back in. But the two things, first and foremost, that I would not recommend whenever you are already in a really dysregulated state in your nervous system is any type of restrictive eating, including fasting. So we got that out of the way. Now we're not going to talk about food anymore. The third thing that I do not recommend whenever your nervous system is already really dysregulated is mindless scrolling on the phone. Scrolling is a great tool if you are trying to check out and dissociate, but you are listening to a podcast called Holistic Trauma Healing, where we talk all about not dissociating and being in our bodies. So I'm guessing that if you are scrolling and it is a tool of dissociation for you, then that is not in alignment with your desire to holistically heal your trauma. Scrolling is not a great tool if you're striving to be more present and aware, and especially if you're trying to reestablish a connection with your body. When we're mindlessly scrolling and we're already in a dysregulated state, we are guaranteed to come across content that will be triggering or challenging, or maybe it just makes you uncomfortable. But in that dysregulated state, you may feel, like we were talking about earlier, you may feel anger, and you're not even angry at the person who created the content, but you were already angry and already dysregulated when you got on your phone. So then you read their content, and the lens you're looking through is a dysregulated nervous system lens. So you're probably going to misperceive what they're saying, especially if you find it uncomfortable or challenging or confronting. You'll misperceive. You will inject tone that isn't there. You will inject inflection that isn't there. You may even read words into their content that isn't there simply because your own nervous system is already dysregulated. And then to further the injury, you may leave a really hateful, rude, angry comment shaming that person for your own dysregulation, for how they triggered you, when really it's not about them and their content at all. It was because you were mindlessly scrolling and got caught up in your dysregulated nervous system, and were out of your integrity or out of congruence with yourself in the comments you were leaving. Even if you don't leave a comment, still, mindless scrolling disconnects us from our bodies. It makes us check out. It makes us dissociate. And if we're already in a dysregulated state in our nervous systems, that's not a wise thing to do. So put the phone down, don't scroll, reconnect with your body, do some nervous system hygiene. It's all gonna be okay. let's see. The fourth thing that I do not recommend whenever your nervous system is already really dysregulated is staying up too late. So in episode 89 of the podcast, when I talk about the things that signal safety to our nervous systems, sleep is a big one, is a huge one. Sleep deprivation will cue our brain and nervous system to feel unsafe. And if you think about it, sleep deprivation is used as a method of torture, okay? So like if the US government and other governments are using sleep deprivation as a torture tool, then it probably stands to reason that sleep deprivation is really dysregulating, right? That it's actually torturous. And trust me, I did 5 months of no sleep, and I can tell you it is torturous. It is extremely dysregulating. The more you go without sleep and not getting the sleep you need, the more dysregulated your nervous system gets. So I highly recommend, if your nervous system is dysregulated, that you prioritize your sleep. You prioritize going to bed on time. You prioritize slow, calming things before you go to bed, like drinking a calming herbal tea, like chamomile tea, or reading a really enjoyable book, not something heavy, not something with a lot of, you know, action or suspense, that you do some meditation before bed, or that you take an Epsom salt before bed. All of these things are you slowing down and signaling to your body, everything is safe, we're cozy, we're comfy, we're getting ready to go sleep and recharge. So I do not recommend staying up late. If your nervous system is already dysregulated, please prioritize your sleep. The next thing I do not recommend if your nervous system is really, really dysregulated is isolating yourself. I know that when our nervous systems are dysregulated, we often feel like we're too much for people, or like, oh, I'm a Debbie Downer. I don't want to go be around people because I'll just bring everyone down. I get it. But you need that connection and community to feel safe. Your nervous system relies on other nervous systems to co-regulate with. We need that co-regulation to feel settled and safe. We also need to be able to allow people to see us vulnerable and dysregulated and accept the comfort and love they want to give us. We all have people in our lives who want to see the real us. And if we really are dysregulated and having a hard time, I promise you those people want to know because they want to support you. But because the voice in our head is judging the state that we're in and we're denying ourselves that love and comfort and compassion, then we also deny others the ability to give us that love, comfort, and compassion. And we isolate ourselves. So I definitely do not recommend isolating yourself when you're feeling dysregulated. And I know that it may take extra effort to get out of the house or to invite people over or to go to the book club or whatever it is. But I promise you, you will always feel better afterwards. Always. So I do not recommend isolating yourself when your nervous system is already really dysregulated. Let's see. Was that number five? I think that was number five. Number six, I do not recommend, when you are really dysregulated, watching activating television or movies. You know, horror movies, suspense movies, high action, drama, TV is made to activate our nervous systems. That's how we get wrapped up in the story, is because our stress hormones are going crazy, because we're afraid that person's going to get murdered, or because we know the killer is hiding right around the corner and the stupid girl like doesn't know. And so she's about to walk around the corner and die. Like, that's how they get us involved. That's how they get us hooked. And even though we're just watching and we're not actually in those scary survival situations, our nervous systems don't know the difference. Literally, your nervous system does not know the difference between you watching a scary movie and you actually being in that scary situation. Your nervous system does not know the difference. So my personal favorite shows that help me feel like I'm winding down and I feel settled and safe are The Office. And when I posted this on Instagram, I got so many comments that were like, The Office literally got me through the darkest time of my life. To this day, we still watch The Office. I think we've watched the whole series through like probably 10 or 12 times at this point. So that's probably my favorite TV show. Also, another great nervous system regulating show, Bob Ross reruns. Guys, if you haven't tapped into the goldmine of Bob Ross reruns, just stop this show right now and go tap into the well of Bob Ross reruns. Probably the most nervous system friendly show on the planet. And I also like nature documentaries. Excuse me, as long as they don't involve like really triggering things. So I like a good nature doc. I don't like it whenever they start talking about habitat destruction and climate change and animal harm and all of that. Like, I just want to see the cute baby tigers and the cute toucans and all of that. And I want you to tell me all about them and how they evolved and all the cool shit they do. But I don't want to hear any of the bad stuff, like how climate change is ruining their habitat and they're being, you know, poached for their feathers or whatever. So I just don't recommend that you watch activating TV whenever your nervous system is already dysregulated. Like, just let yourself chill out. Give yourself the gift of chill. The seventh thing that I don't recommend when your nervous system is really dysregulated is caffeine. All my coffee lovers are going to turn the show off right now. You guys know by now, right, that caffeine is a highly addictive, upregulating drug, right? It's a legalized drug. It really is. And it's going to upregulate an already upregulated nervous system. That is a recipe for self-induced anxiety. I don't know what your relationship with anxiety is like. I don't particularly enjoy the way anxiety feels in my body. I definitely don't enjoy the way that drinking caffeine feels in my body. And I know that some people are more sensitive to caffeine than others. Like, I get that. My husband is not sensitive to caffeine at all. He can literally drink like a 16-ounce black coffee 10 minutes before bed and he can still go to sleep. I, on the other hand, if I drink a 16-ounce black coffee, even on my best, most regulated day, I would still be like a jittery, panicked, heart palpitating mess. Like, that's still how I would be. So let's just like love on our nervous systems a little bit. We know that caffeine increases our heart rate. An increased heart rate is a sign of sympathetic nervous system activation. So if your heart rate increases as a result of drinking coffee, you are activating your own nervous system with the coffee. Okay? Not saying that in a judging way. It just is. So if you're already anxious, what's the point? Like, what's the point? If you're already feeling anxious, why add something on top of it that's going to make you feel more jittery and more nervous and more anxious and more easily startled? So that's my spiel about caffeine. I am not a caffeine-free person. I drink a cup of black tea every morning. And I have for a couple of years, but I wasn't always able to drink a cup of tea in the morning. I had to go through like 2 years or maybe 18 months, maybe not 2 years, but like 18 months of not being able to drink any caffeine at all because the slightest amount of caffeine just made me feel those sensations in my body that felt like anxiety and they're not fun. So kudos to me for regulating my nervous system to the point that I can now tolerate a cup of tea in the morning, and that's good enough for me. All right, moving on. The number eight thing that I do not recommend if your nervous system is really dysregulated is any kind of high intensity exercise. So high intensity interval training, sprinting, even like long distance running can be really, really hard on a nervous system that's already dysregulated. Because slowness is a major safety signal. Slowing down signals safety. I think high intensity exercise can be a way to discharge anxious energy, which is great. But when we're really dysregulated, once we've done our like our shaking or like a quick walk or something to discharge anxious energy, we're going to support our nervous systems so much more by doing slower movements like yoga, stretching, hip opening exercises, or even just slow walking in nature. So for you exercise addicts, I know that it might be hard to like tone down the workout routine, but it may be really necessary for you to get your nervous system, you know, back in a place where you can handle some of that kind of stuff. And if you've never been able to slow down your exercise routine, you're always doing high intensity things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but perhaps zooming out and having a little bit of awareness about that and like noticing if you have resistance to doing slower things. Maybe the voice in your head tells you that you're not burning as many calories, or the voice in your head tells you that you're not challenging yourself enough. Things like that are often rooted in shame and are not really rooted in like our sovereign choice to do high intensity exercise. So it may just be like a big mental challenge if you are a high intensity exerciser to slow down. You know, try going to some yoga classes instead of spin class for once. Try some slower stuff. Try some stretching. Notice if the voice in your head tells you that you're not doing enough, or it's not hard enough, or you're not challenging yourself enough, or you're not burning enough calories, or you're not going to lose weight fast enough. Like, notice all of those voices in your head, because those voices in your head are a reflection of the state of your nervous system. So just those voices in your head are a sign that your nervous system is dysregulated. So adding more high intensity stuff on top of that is going to create further dysregulation, when really your body needs you to slow down and signal safety to your body. The ninth thing that I do not recommend if your nervous system is really dysregulated is staying indoors. Go outside. Sunshine and nature are probably the most soothing things for our nervous systems, and they're totally free. Unless you live in northern Minnesota like I do, and the sun doesn't shine for part of the year, which we've actually thought about buying a tanning bed just to try to get some UV light in the summer or in the wintertime. But I don't have a place to put a tanning bed, and obviously the risks of a tanning bed could outweigh the benefits. So, but sunshine, outdoors, we need to be outside. It's not a privilege. It's necessary. Our generation and our parents' generation, and I'm 39 right now, so I'm talking to like millennials, and I'm talking to boomers. And if you're in Gen Z and you're listening to this, this applies too, because Gen Z is on TikTok all the time. But the past two generations have spent far less time outdoors than our ancestors did. And it's really unnatural. We're not supposed to be inside this much. We're supposed to be outside. We're supposed to be walking through fields and climbing trees and swimming in rivers and catching our food outside. Like, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be, you know, sitting and addicted to our screens all the time. So you are going to do your nervous system a huge favor if instead of getting on your phone, instead of doing some high intensity exercise, instead of trying to zone out or watch crazy activating TV, if you put it all down and you go outside and you just take 10 minutes even to notice the sun and the warmth on your face, notice the trees blowing in the breeze. If there's flowers, smell them. Notice the smell of flowers. Notice the sounds of the birds. Like, take your shoes off and feel the ground under your feet. That is going to be so soothing to your nervous system. All right, we are 9 things in. I've got 6 more to go. So the 10th thing that I do not recommend if your nervous system is really dysregulated is alcohol. Alcohol is a nervous system depressant. And I totally understand that for some people, alcohol is the way that they check out. It's the way that they regulate their nervous systems. It is technically, it does help people regulate. It brings people down or it brings people up. So technically, it is a nervous system tool. However, we know that it's not an effective nervous system tool, right? We know that alcohol is, it may help a person feel better, but it's not bringing regulation. It's just bringing numbness, right? Or it's like taking the edge off of feelings that they would rather not feel. We know that alcohol causes even more dysregulation because when we're drinking or we drink too much, we can behave in ways that aren't in our integrity. And that certainly impacts people around us, especially kids, right? If you grew up in a family where you had a parent who was an alcoholic, you know what that's like. You know that alcohol isn't really regulating their nervous system. I do have two podcast episodes specifically about addiction and alcoholism. So if you want to give those a listen, it's episode 41 and episode 43. And both of those are with addiction specialist Mike Gavoni. And we talk about how sometimes alcohol is the only nervous system regulating tool a person has. And we don't recommend just pulling the tool away. If that's the only tool they have, like, don't take it away from them. But when that's the only tool they have, like, that's why there's addiction. That's why there's alcoholism, because they don't have another tool. So if your nervous system is already dysregulated, I don't recommend that you add alcohol into the mix, because that can be a really slippery slope, right? Like, you can start to feel like the alcohol is what you need to feel better. When really it could be causing more problems than it is helping. The 11th thing that I don't recommend whenever your nervous system is really dysregulated is having hard conversations. So when we're dysregulated, on some level, we don't have access to all of our prefrontal cortex in our brain. And our prefrontal cortex is where we make logical, Our prefrontal cortex is where we make logic, reasoning, analytical decisions. That is the part of our brain where there is consciousness, not meaning like your soul, but like where you are conscious of what you are choosing and what you are saying and what you are doing. When you're dysregulated, on some level, you don't have full access to that logic, reasoning part of your brain. That's the part of the brain that's necessary to navigate a difficult conversation. So I would recommend, if you are dysregulated and you need to have a hard conversation with someone, I would recommend that you take some time, do some nervous system hygiene, which is something that I teach in my group program, nervous system hygiene. Bring yourself back down to a place of regulation and safety, fully in your prefrontal cortex, and then have that hard conversation. Don't try to do it whenever you're dysregulated, because it's just going to be harder for you and for other people involved. The 12th thing that I do not recommend when your nervous system is already dysregulated is having a too full schedule, being overscheduled. When you don't have enough time and space in the day to just be, where you're not running errands, you're not working, you're not sitting in front of a screen, you're not cooking, you're not having to be responsible for everything and everyone, when you're just able to be. Not having that is a huge source of dysregulation. And over time, having to sustain yourself with a packed schedule is going to result in higher adrenaline levels, and that's going to end up fucking with your sleep. So we all need spaces of time during the day, every day, where we can just be. And this goes for our kids too, you guys. Our kids do not need to be overscheduled any more than we are. They just don't. Like, being overscheduled doesn't work for anyone. It's not good for anyone's nervous systems. That's why we all love like lazy Sundays when we don't have anything to do, right? I propose that we bring more lazy Sunday energy into Monday through Saturday. Doesn't mean that we don't do anything for the whole day, but it means that we are aware that we need blocks of time to just chill, to just be. All right, what is this, 12th? I don't even remember what number we're on at this point, 11th? Hustling, oh my goodness, hustling. Don't even get me started on hustle culture. To a dysregulated nervous system, hustling is the opposite of safety. Why? Because hustling, especially if it's a side hustle and you already have a full-time job on top of it, Hustling requires you to extract precious energy resources from yourself that you simply may not have, especially if you've been chronically dysregulated. Let me repeat that. Hustling requires us to extract precious energy resources from ourselves that we simply may not have if we've been chronically dysregulated. If we've been running on adrenaline for so long that it's become our normal state, hustling may feel normal. It may feel really familiar. You may be like, nah, I got this. I'm used to 25 irons in the fire at once. And so actually slowing down may feel really uncomfortable, and you may feel more dysregulated by slowing down temporarily than you feel by continuing to hustle. But I promise you, with repeated exposure to slowing down and not hustling, that will become more familiar to your nervous system. And one day you'll be like not uncomfortable at all. And you'll be like, holy shit, why did I hustle? Why did I extract from myself all of those years? Slowing down, again, slowness signals safety, episode 89 of the podcast. Highly recommend that you go back and listen. All right, next thing that I don't recommend whenever you are really dysregulated. This isn't really something that you like choose to do or choose to be, but it is often what happens. And so I'm just trying to bring awareness to it, because once you have awareness, then you can make the conscious choice to shift. So I don't recommend getting stuck in your left brain whenever your nervous system is really dysregulated. The left brain is like where the overthinking mind is, and the mind is a meaning-making machine. We have all these voices in our heads that are constantly trying to make sense of things, telling us stories about things, making meaning out of things, perceiving things through our own lens. When our nervous systems are dysregulated, our perception is often off, and we will perceive a threat when a threat isn't actually present. And that's because our ego is seeking certainty through thought. But this creates more alarm in the body. The more we think, overthinking creates alarm in the body, because anxious thoughts fuel dysregulation, and then dysregulation fuels more anxious overthinking. So it's this horrible negative feedback loop that we get caught in. I talked about this with my guest, Dr. Russ Kennedy, the anxiety MD, on episode 91 of the podcast, where we talked about the alarm anxiety cycle in the body. And that's exactly what it is we feel this alarm in our body, that's nervous system dysregulation. And then our minds notice it and start making a story out of it, start asking a bunch of questions, start trying to make it make sense, start trying to help us feel better. But then that creates more dysregulation in the body. And so our thoughts are a reflection of our nervous systems. And when we're stuck in our left brain, overthinking, overanalyzing, we go into catastrophizing, drasticizing, trying to control things. It's a vicious cycle. But when we get the right side of our brain involved, then we can feel more present. And the left side of our brain isn't going to be so active trying to think our way out of dysregulation, which is impossible, by the way. So when you get your right side of the brain involved through activities like just being creative, making art, making music, anything creative, going outside, being with plants, anything like that is a great way to get out of the overthinking mind and feel more regulated and present. So I highly recommend those things if you are feeling really dysregulated. And finally, the last thing that I do not recommend when you're feeling really dysregulated is making important decisions. I'm going to talk about that prefrontal cortex again. Remember, that is the part of our brain where we make logical, rational decisions. To some degree, the prefrontal cortex is offline when we are dysregulated. To some degree, we are in the ancient reptilian limbic part of our brain. Okay, that's where fight, flight response lives. We're not in the logic, analytical side of our brain. If you think about it this way, okay, if you're traipsing through the woods and you hear a stick crack in the distance and you stop dead in your tracks, your heart rate instantly starts pounding, right? You may instantly start sweating. You may feel hot in your face. Your breath like gets really shallow, or it stops, right? And that's because that sound of that stick cracking in the woods is enough for your survival instincts to go, wait a second, something's out there. I'm not here by myself. What is it? And it may just be a squirrel or a bunny rabbit. It may not be a threat, but your limbic brain doesn't have time to be like, oh, it's probably just a bunny or a squirrel. It's not actually a bear. Your limbic brain doesn't have time to figure out if it's a bear or a bunny, right? Or a squirrel. Like, your body has to be prepared to fight or run away from whatever made that stick crack instantly, right? In milliseconds. And it is. And that's why you experience the heart rate increase and the sweating and the shallowness of breath and all of that. But when you hear that stick crack in the woods, if you had full access to your logical prefrontal cortex and you weren't in your survival brain, then you would be like, I'm just going to like stand here and I'm going to maybe walk closer to where I heard that stick crack. And I'm going to be really curious about it. And I'm going to go figure out what it is. Or actually, I'm going to just call my mom real quick. And I'm going to explain to her that I heard the stick cracking in the woods. And I'm going to get her opinion about what I should do, right? We don't have fucking time to do that when we're in survival mode. Because we're not in that part of our brain that lets us do that. We're in the survival part of our brain that's like, I don't give a shit about your mom. I don't give a shit if it's a bunny. All I need to do is get you the fuck out of here because it's probably a bear. But we're not going to stick around here long enough to find out, right? So making important decisions when your nervous system is dysregulated is like trying to phone a friend when you hear the stick crack in the woods to figure out what you should do. It just doesn't make any sense. And even if, okay, like I'm willing to hold space for the fact that plenty of us have made good decisions even when we were dysregulated. But even if we make a wise decision while we're dysregulated, it's gonna be super hard to get there. We're going to have a hard time because of that stream of incessant overthinking, the voice in our head that's catastrophizing everything. We're going to make it way harder on ourselves, right? To be in that primal animal survival mode and to try to be in rational, logical human mode at the same time is really hard for anyone, okay? That's like trying to be drunk or high and, you know, like run a meeting or something. Like it's more difficult than it needs to be, right? Because your state is altered. So I don't recommend making important decisions whenever you're dysregulated. I understand that when you're dysregulated, there is often a feeling of urgency, like, oh my God, I have to make this decision right now. Like I get that. But that sense of urgency is literally manufactured by your nervous system and you don't have to give into it and you don't have to try to make really hard, important decisions whenever your nervous system is feeling regulated. Do some nervous system hygiene, wait a bit for your body to come back to safety, then you will have access to your prefrontal cortex, your analytical mind will be more present, and then you will be able to make a decision. Okay, folks, that's all I have for you today. I told you it was going to be a short, sweet episode. 15 things I don't recommend if your nervous system is really dysregulated. I noticed when I put these things on Instagram, some of the comments were people shaming themselves. And they were like, oh, I do all of these things. No wonder I'm so dysregulated. I don't share any of this to shame you or make you feel bad about yourself. All I'm trying to do is bring awareness to the lifestyle things that we all do all the time that may not be supportive of the ongoing regulation of our nervous systems and the felt sense of safety in our bodies. That's all I'm saying. You take this information and you do with it what feels right for you. I would even recommend that you take this information, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, take it to your spouse or partner, take it to your friend, listen to it together, have a conversation about it together and be like, do we do these things? You know, like, husband, can you tell me what I'm like when I've had too much caffeine? Like, really, I want to know what I'm really like. Or like, hey, have you ever noticed how hard it is for us to make a decision whenever I'm in a panic attack? Like, let's figure out a way to not do that again. Like, that's the kind of conversations that I'm talking about. And if we don't have language, which is what I am attempting to do, if we don't have language, it's going to make having those conversations impossible. So, thank you so much for being here. Take this information and do with it what you will. I am not prescribing a way of living for anyone. I am in no way, shape, or form saying that you can't have fun, that you can't drink alcohol, that you can't ever do high intensity exercise again, that you can't do a healing diet. I'm not saying any of that. I'm simply saying I don't recommend it when your nervous system is really, really dysregulated. I wonder what things you found really, really dysregulating, or things that you figured out, it's not a good idea for me to do this when I'm really, really dysregulated. If you have other things that you would not recommend someone do if they're really dysregulated, share them with me, please. You can always send me a DM on Instagram. Find me at I am Lindsay Lockett. And please do keep in mind that my name is spelled with an EY at the end and not an AY. Very, very important detail. And just to remind you again, if you made it all the way to the end of this episode, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you spending your time with me. I hope that you have learned something and found this to be really valuable. And I just want to remind you that I have a collection or a toolbox of tools for when your nervous system is fucking dysregulated and you need something fast. You need to get back to safety right this minute. It's called Nervous System CPR. It is a collection of 9 short videos. I made them short and small file sizes on purpose so that they will not eat up all of your device storage. You can download them to your smartphone or your tablet so that you can take me everywhere you go and you don't have to worry about going back through your saved reels or panic searching for a YouTube video when you're in a moment of really big dysregulation, which we all have. So it's totally normal, part of the human experience, but also helpful to have tools whenever you need them. So you can check that out. Show notes below, there is a link, and also you can grab Nervous System CPR at lindsaylockett.com/CPR. As always, thank you again, and I will talk to you next time.